condemned. The two men next to him were both justly condemned. By their own witness, they testify about it themselves. One through actions, one through his words, agreeing with the sentence of the Romans, that he had done whatever evil deed he had done and found himself on a cross, rightly condemned. Theirs was not the case of a man on death row that was innocent of his crimes. We must understand as we come to this day that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All of us are justly condemned with those two. Our case is not as if we have been wrongly condemned. Well, Adam did it, and therefore I am unjustly find myself under a condemnation of sin. I am unjustly bound for eternity in hell. No, we have been justly condemned because we have participated in these things. We have done all that is necessary for us to be condemned to eternity for all time. All have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. You see, the guilt of these two that are on the cross does not differentiate them. Because we see two men, both rightly condemned to execution. One was no better than the other. The chosen one, as we read here, was not better than the one that is damned for all time. Why was one chosen and not the other, when they are both justly condemned? Was one of them's filthy rags of good works better than the others? No. They were rightly crucified. God does not care if one soiled rag is a little less soiled than the other. Changed the oil yesterday on my vehicles. Had a couple oiled on rags. Guess what? One was less oily than the other, but they're both ruined. Only good for collecting oil again some other time. Maybe one was more knowledgeable than the other, you might think. Both were witnesses. Both watched as Jesus bore his cross partway to Calvary. Both watched his beaten form as it tried to hobble its way to Calvary, to Golgotha, as we read. Both watched as the blood from his brow dripped upon the street. Both watched as his strength finally gave out and another man had to be compelled to carry the cross the rest of the way. Both witnessed the crucifixion as he was put upon the cross, as he was raised up to the heavens. Like the snake in the wilderness that we must look to for our salvation. Both watched all of that. Both were there when he finally drew his final breath. Because remember, he was dead when they went to break his legs. They had to break the other twos because they weren't dead yet. The criminals, they witnessed the entirety of all of it. There was no difference in what they saw as he walked the Via Dolorosa, the way of suffering. They walked it too. It did not save both of them. It did not save either of them. No penance could cleanse them of the sin that they were rightly and justly condemned for. Both reviled him, as we read in Matthew 27 and as we read in Mark 15. Both joined in the fun of ridiculing the man that could raise the dead. In ridiculing the man that would say they could destroy the temple and he would rebuild it in 3 days. both as they hung on the cross, waiting for the final breath that they would take, both reviled him. Knowledge did not differentiate the two. They had the same facts. As Senator Moynihan would say, you're entitled to your own opinion, but not your own facts. They saw the same things. They witnessed the same transgressions against humanity. They were there on this beautiful, scandalous night when God took our sin for us. They watched as the sky grew dark at midday. They witnessed the earthquake. They saw as the Romans bartered and traded and cast lots for his garments. The elect was not smarter than the unelect. He did not see more than they did or than the other did. He was not trying to bet on the right horse in this last ditch effort. No, knowledge does not differentiate the elect from the damned. Praise God, Christianity is not confined to witnesses. You don't have to be there to see to know that it is true. It has not been confined to the 500 who saw Christ risen and walking. It has not been confined to those that witnessed the apostles doing their miracles. Or even their shadows could do miracles, as we read. It's not confined to those people. Praise God, we are those who believe without seeing, but what of those who are there? We can't say that it is different for them. Some saw and did not believe. Some saw and believed. Today, no one sees, but yet some believe and some choose not to. And yet, in all of this equality, as we cannot differentiate between the saved and the damned in what they in their condemnation, we can't differentiate between them in their witness and what they have seen, and yet only one of those two is in paradise. Only one was told by Christ himself, today you will be with me in paradise. The song asks, were you there? The plain reality is, no, you weren't. But even if you were, it would not have mattered. If you could get a time machine and go back and see all of these things, the people that would deny him today will deny it then, even as their eyes see it. Because we know, because they did deny it, even as their eyes saw it. The difference is not in what we witness or didn't witness. All are called and few are chosen. Knowledge, intelligence, innocence are not factors in belief. They do not differentiate those who believe that Christ is risen and those who do not believe that he is risen. Frankly, the guards at the tomb didn't have to believe it. They saw it, and yet they still chose to reject it. These two men, justly condemned, both witnessed. And yet only one was called. Only one chose to believe that this man was different. One of the criminals who was hanged railed against him. The other, after watching everything, for some reason, as he's hanging from a cross in the morning, something happens in his soul. Something transpires, and all of a sudden, by the end of the day, he is bound for glory and not damnation any longer. We don't know why. He saw the same things. He heard the same message. He saw all that transpired with the centurion that accomplished it. Why did one choose and the other not? We don't know what happened. How God moved in the heart of one and not in the heart of the other. We don't know why. But praise God, it was of God and only of God. Because it is the gospel message, is it not, that we can do nothing. He calls us out of darkness, and we responded because he let us. Praise God, because now I don't have to worry about one day I'm not going to be as smart as I used to be, and I'm going to lose my salvation. I don't have to worry about my innocence. One day I'm going to commit the unpardonable sin and no longer be able to enjoy God's grace. I don't have to worry about that because it was of grace the whole time and it was Christ who chose, not me. My assurance is not in these things. See, this is the gospel, that Christ did it all on that cross. And for some reason, unknown to me, he chose me like he chose the one criminal. He chose the man justly condemned. And his heart was quickened, and he responded in grace, through grace. Not trying to deny what is rightfully true, accepting his condemnation. Not trying to get out of the earthly condemnation that he deserved. His culpability. For whatever he had done, he recognized, I am rightly here. The other one noticed, like, hey, if this is the Christ, I'm here with him. Why don't you save yourself and save us also? He's trying to get out of what he rightly deserves. Just wanting some prosperity gospel in on this. And yet the one chose not. Said, no, I'm rightly here. Just remember me when you get to your kingdom. Recognizing that Christ's kingdom is a kingdom that he can be part of. That if Jesus would choose him, all would be different for eternity. He did not seek temporal relief. He sought eternity with Christ. He chooses you as you are, where you are. There was nothing that criminal could do for Christ. He could not stop the mockers from mocking. He could not go and do some good work that was going to give glory to Christ. All he could do was ask to be remembered in his kingdom. He couldn't even be baptized with water as others would be, and as we would say, you need to be if you're able. All he could do was be broken and contrite and recognize his unworthiness and total dependence on Christ's grace for what he could do for him. It's all of grace. The story of the criminal is ours. It is our gospel message. We are only sinners saved by grace. There is nothing that we can do that will make us worthy of him. There's nothing we are going to do that will make us unworthy of him. We are his or we are not, and it is not dependent on our actions. We bear unearned, unmerited favor, and we can't make it justifiable, our call. Just moments earlier, you might have been doing the same as both of those criminals. Castigating your Lord. Doing any number of sins recklessly. But now is the moment, if you have not chosen before, to choose him now. If your soul is quickened and you recognize your dependence and need, now is that moment at midday when something changes in your life and you say, I need him. I cannot offer anything but myself, contrite and unworthy. But I need him nonetheless, for I am hopelessly beyond hope. And today, it says, truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. You see, Christ is the only one who had something to offer. Today, 2,000 years ago, our sins and his were paid for on that cross. He rose the third day as proof for you and I that it had been accomplished, that the sin had been paid, that he was worthy and able to do that which he had claimed and said. But our sin, our guilt, was shed and cast from us and covered by his blood on that day, at that moment. And eternity stands with us. Paradise. Will we join that criminal? Will you change and draw near and depend wholly and fully on Christ to accomplish everything, not trying to make yourself right before him, not trying to make yourself worthy of him, not pretending that you can offer him something? Oh, if you save me from this or that, I will go and I'll be on a mission trip, or I'll serve you overseas, or whatever. That might be what you get to do, but let me tell you, it will not make you worthy. You do not barter with the Almighty. You accept his grace. You live in his grace, fully and wholly. Let's pray. Almighty God, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for what you have done. We thank you, Lord, that we don't have to wait, that today we can be yours. We thank you, Father, that we don't have to say, oh, I have to do this or that to be saved, but you can move in a moment and draw us near. I praise you, Father, and I ask that you would move so many that are here today that have not fully trusted, that have gone through the motions of trusting, or that have not yet taken the step, that you would move them, Lord, that they might finally speak, that something has transpired, and they would ask for you to move in them, and that they would declare it for all to see. In your holy and precious name, amen. Please stand and sing with us. I left off. I forgot. I had another one first.